All right, we're going to talk about something. I actually got a question this week from Wendy Peterman. Y'all remember Wendy and Chuck? And she said that Alyssa had come home from school, and they, in their private school where they go, they've been talking about the rapture. And she said, what do you know about the rapture? So I intended to prepare something. I sent her a couple of things on it, and it gave me a good excuse to deal with it tonight in our lesson. So I want to show you some things that were books that were turned into movies. Books that were turned into movies. That's the original Star Wars book. Here's another one. The Wizard of Oz. One of my favorites, A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court. Do you know what's coming next? Bugs Bunny. There you go. So those were all books that were turned into movies. Now here's the difference. Those were books that were turned into movies. None of them have creeped their way into the service of the church. The Rapture, literally, is a book that was turned into a movie that has become very popular in evangelical circles, we would say. And this is the first one. You've heard of this. This is the Left Behind series of movies. And it's very dramatic. What happens if a third of the population disappears off the earth? And everybody realizes, hey, you're the guys left behind, and the terrible things that come. And they make for great movies, but they have nothing to do with Scripture. And they have nothing to do with the teaching of God. Now, let me show you this. This is the title of the original book. This came out in 1995. You see the big letters here, Left Behind? Now, I don't think you can see what those letters are. I blew it up for you a little bit. You may not be able to see that. A novel of the earth's final days. A novel, by definition, is fiction. Now, how many of you know people who believe in the rapture? All of us. They get excited. This, beware, in case of rapture, this car will be unmanned. You've seen that bumper sticker. That's a reference to the rapture. What is it? Why is it people are all excited about it? And is it something that we should study? Well, first of all, not even the word is in your Bible. If you take most of you have a Bible app on your phone, just do a search on rapture in your Bible. The word doesn't even appear. It's something that prior to 1800, no Christian had ever heard of. Let me say that again. Prior to 1800, no Christian had ever heard of the rapture because it's not taught in the Scriptures. It is literally taught by man. You can tie it directly to a man named John Nelson Darby in 1830. He said the theory popped into his head, and he invented this idea that Christ would secretly come back and rapture people away, and then that was how the beginning of the tribulation was going to occur, and we would go from there. And let me tell you about that, because I think this is important. I didn't put it on the screen. I probably should have. But here's the kind of order of operations of this. Those who believe in the rapture think that time will go on like it is. Then there will be a rapture. Here's what they mean by that. And I'm not making this up. That Christ will secretly come back. Again, this is the theory. Secretly come back and rapture or take all of the Christians away into heaven. Then there will be 7 years of tribulation and hardship on everybody left. Then Christ will come back and reign in a premillennial throne. And then after all that is over, the judgment day in heaven. Now you may be saying to yourself, that's confusing. It's even more confusing when you look at it. Because there are as many sub-theories of this as there are theories. But the basic idea is that there's a rapture when the saved will be taken away. And then a tribulation. Now, all of them have this tribulation period that occurs. And then Christ comes and reigns on the earth. So you really have two different false theories bound up into each other. Premillennialism, which at least you can look at the scriptures and go, yeah, I see where people get that. And the rapture, which you can't at all. But they've taken those two things and mushed them together, and you have what most people believe in is the truth of scripture. And again, I remind you, it's made popular by a novel. Okay, so that's the order of operations. Rapture, tribulation, millennial reign, judgment day. Let me say that again. Rapture, tribulation, millennial reign, judgment day. Okay, so John Nelson Darby is the guy who came up with this. It became popular at least in some religious circles, because of something called a Scofield Study Bible that was printed in 1908, and then the books that we refer to in 1995. The Left Behind, I remind you again, the first book literally says, Left Behind, a novel. Okay, so let's deal with some of the scriptures that they use. And oddly enough, one of the scriptures that they use to talk about the rapture in the same chapter disproves the very theory. And this is Matthew chapter 24. And if you're not familiar with Matthew chapter 24, it is a somewhat difficult chapter to interpret. You have people who think it's all about the destruction of Jerusalem. You think some that think it's all about some of it's about the destruction of Jerusalem. Some of it's about the second coming. There certainly can be some differing opinions on what Matthew chapter 24 is about. But I want to start with Matthew chapter 24 and verse 40. Because this is the idea of where they get this idea of people being left behind. Matthew 24 and verse 40. I'm going out of order, but I did that on purpose. Matthew 24 and verse 40. So this is what the Bible says. This is Jesus speaking. And he's talking about the Roman occupation of Jerusalem, by the way. And he says in verse 40, then two men will be in the field, one will be taken and one left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken and one left. Now what you have to do to come up with this rapture is assume that Jesus in this chapter is talking about the second coming throughout it. If you're familiar, if you've studied Matthew chapter 24, this is something you understand what I'm talking about. If you've never really studied it before, I apologize if this is a little confusing. But Matthew chapter 24 disproves the very theory of the rapture, and I'll tell you how. According to rapture believers, it is the saved, it is Christians who are raptured, therefore they don't have to go through the tribulation. I'm going to say that again. According to those who believe in the theory, it's Christians who are raptured, so they won't have to go through the tribulation. Look back at verse 9, same chapter. So let's assume for just a moment that this is not about the destruction of Jerusalem. Let's assume that they have to. This is one of the problems when you get a theory sometimes, is your theory forces you to interpret scriptures in a certain way. And that's a problem with having a theory first and not the Bible first. So if the theory is all of Matthew 24 is about, they wouldn't even say the second coming, and we'll talk about that in just a moment, but it's about the rapture, then their problem is verse 9. Matthew 24 and verse 9. So again, let's remember, if Jesus is talking here about a rapture, he's talking about a rapture that precedes the tribulation. So verse 9 of Matthew 24, then they will deliver you up. Now, there's no doubt Jesus is talking about the apostles here, almost certainly more roundly Christians as well. But he's talking directly to the apostles. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and put you to death, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Now, what's the problem with that verse? How are they going to go through tribulation if they've already been raptured? Now, you must deal with this. The apostles of Jesus Christ are so sinful that their car is not left unmanned when the rapture comes, and they have to endure the tribulation. So either you're saying the apostles don't get raptured, or you're saying that the apostles are sinners and they have to go through tribulation. Either way, it falsifies the theory. Either way. So the very theory, the scripture that they use to prove they think their theory disproves their theory. There is no rapture in the Bible. So what is in the Bible? And this is the situation, I quote this all, that every time I bring it up, I talk about Brother Dave Owen in Bible class. He said, bank tellers are not taught to recognize forgeries. They're not. They're taught to recognize the real thing. And once you know what a real $100 bill looks like, you know what the forgery looks like. So what is the truth of Scripture? The problem that rapture people have, other than the fact that it's completely made up and it's a theory that's about 200 years old, is the fact it's not mentioned in Scripture, and they have a third coming of Jesus. They have a third coming of Jesus. We refer to the end of the world as the second coming. Christ appears born of a virgin, that's the first coming, and then Christ is coming back at the end of the age, at the end of the world, to bring judgment day, and that is his second coming. Well, if you believe in the rapture, you got Jesus coming three times. So let's look at some scriptures, and I wrote these down, and there's more that can be taught here, but I thought this was a pretty good way of handling this in kind of a simple, concise way. Hebrews chapter 9, turn over there for just a moment. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Because this is where we get into the idea of what the Bible teaches about the second coming is comforting. What the Bible teaches about the second coming is clear. We don't have to confuse it with some kind of man-made theory. We don't have to come up with a novel idea and write a book. The Bible is great all by itself. The second coming will be awe-inspiring. Maybe the problem is you can't really make a movie of how great the true second coming is, so you have to make something up that maybe makes a better story. Because the real issue about the second coming is, you know how many acts are in that movie? One. Because when it happens, it's over. There's no second half of the movie. When the Lord comes, it's the end of time. So Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27 and 28. What the scripture teaches is that Christ is coming again, but when he comes again, that is the end. Hebrews 9 verse 27 and 28. And just as it appointed for man to die once, and after that comes the judgment, so Christ... And now remember, the so here refers back to the idea of the one instance. So Christ, having been offered once to bear the sins of many, will appear a second time, not to deal with sin, but to save those who are eagerly waiting for him. So how many comings? Two. One at his birth, again at the end of time. There is no third coming. Take a look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 22. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 22. Again, we're asking ourselves, how many times is Jesus coming back? He's coming back one time. And by the way, this is not a lesson on premillennialism per se, but Christ is already reigning. And this verse that we're about to read from 1 Corinthians 15 deals with that. There is no Christ will reign. Christ reigns now. The only thing he's coming to do at the end of time is end time. 1 Corinthians 15, 22. 1 Corinthians 15, 22 through 24. Paul there says, for as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. Now, think about that for just a moment. At the rapture, how many in their theory, who's made alive? Just Christians. But when Christ comes, all are going to be resurrected. For as in Adam all die, so also in Christ shall all be made alive. But each in his own order, Christ the first fruits, that's already occurred. Then at his coming, those who belong to Christ. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father after destroying every rule and every authority and every power. Notice there are two things. Christ is already ruling, and at his second coming, that's when he hands over the kingdom. The people who believe in the rapture believe that Christ comes a second time to receive the kingdom, and then at some later date has a third coming. I mean, it's difficult to ascertain exactly what they believe, but none of it's biblical. The words of Jesus himself prove this theory completely wrong in John chapter 5. John chapter 5, and let's look at verse 28. Again, this is kind of like proving a negative. It's not, I mean, you know, the easiest way to do this sermon is, it's not in the Bible, it's a made-up theory, the end. But it's kind of like Mormonism. It just persists, right? Joseph Smith was, made it all up, and it's a fake golden plates, and it's clearly a ridiculous theory. Yet, we have to talk about it. We have to take it seriously. John chapter 5, verse 28. Notice that Jesus is talking about the fact that all these things are going to happen at one time, that all of the tombs are going to be opened. Do not marvel at this, verse 28 of John chapter 5, for there is an hour coming when all, see that word, all who are in the tombs will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life and those who have done evil to the resurrection of judgment. Christ says it all happens at one time. And there's no separation. Now, there's a separation when people are judged. But at the second coming, that's the point when all, notice Jesus says all there, all who are in the tombs will come out, both the good and the bad. So if I believe in the rapture, I think only the good are raised, only the good are raptured. Jesus disagrees. Jesus says at that point, all who are in the grave will hear his voice and come out. Well, finally, for this evening's lesson, turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to look at verses 3 through 4. And the reason I saved this verse for last, and I'm assuming most of you are familiar with it, is the doubt that's occurring here has to do with what? What is the doubt? And the doubt has to do with the coming of Jesus. So what is being talked about here is Jesus' second coming. And we have to pay attention here and realize what happens at Jesus' second coming. Because if I believe in the rapture at Jesus' second coming, everybody's raptured. Is that what Peter says? Does Peter say the sign of Christ's second coming is that all of the Christians are sent to heaven? That's not what he says at all. What he says is when Jesus comes back, it's over. Which accords with everything we just read. Man dies once and faces judgment. Christ died once, he'll return once. Do not marvel, there's an hour coming. Well, all in the grave will hear his voice. All these things lead to one event, one second coming, one day in which the dead in Christ are raised, in which all are raised, all who are in the tomb come and go to the judgment day. This is the truth of Scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3, let's look at verses 3 and 4. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3 and 4. Knowing this, first of all, that scoffers will come in the last day with scoffing, following their own sinful desires, they will say, "Where is the promise of his coming? For ever since the fathers fell asleep, all things are continuing as they were from the beginning of creation." So what's being discussed? The scoffers are saying, "Where is his coming? Where is the rapture?" Let's just say for a moment that we inserted that word in there. We said, well, Peter's going to tell us what happens when the rapture happens. Peter's going to describe for us what happens when Jesus makes his secret second coming. The problem is, he is going to discuss what happens when Jesus comes back. But there's no one left behind. In fact, there's no earth left behind. There are no novels left behind. It's all going to be destroyed because when the second coming occurs, that's it. It's the end of the age. It's the end of time. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 10 deals with this. Listen to this. Listen to this description and see if this sounds like there's a day after this. "But the day of the Lord will come like a thief. Then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed." Are there 7 years after that verse? Is there an earth after that verse? Are there people left behind after that verse? No. What Jesus tells us, what the Bible clearly tells us, is that we die once, then there's the judgment day. That Jesus came and born of a virgin, and he will come back a second time to end time. Remember the question to Peter. Where is this coming? Where is the promise of his coming? Peter says, oh, it's coming. And when it comes, it's the end of the world. The elements will melt. The world will melt. So what's the message? Peter asks the question, what sort of lives then should we lead? That's classic preacher working toward the invitation talk. Since Jesus is coming, and you can believe that, and since when he comes, it's over, and you can believe that, how should you live? You should live like this could be the last day you live. Live like the Lord could come tonight. That's literally what Peter says. The Lord will come like a thief in the night, and when he does, it's over. And you will be raised. We went over this in John chapter 5, but if you'd like to go back and look at the scripture, you're welcome. You have two alternatives. You can be judged for your deeds, or you can enter into life. You don't want to be judged for your deeds. I don't want to be judged for my deeds. I want my name written in the book of life. And those whose names are written in the book of life have passed from death to life, from judgment to life. So that when the Lord comes, for me, it's more exciting than a movie because I go to live with God forever. That's what Christianity teaches. The Lord is coming, and he's coming again. But when he does, it's over. And our duty is to prepare now. As the old song we used to sing, "Oh, Why Not Tonight?" If you're not a Christian, be ready for the Lord to come. Tonight, if we can help you, please come forward as we stand and we sing.